So if you're neglecting the things of Jesus Christ, such as his word or fellowship in the church or prayer, guess what? You're neglecting the person that you love because you're not refilling yourself with God's love in order to spend it out there in the world. That's why Jesus says, abide in my love, and that's how we abide. We fellowship, we pray, and of course, we spend time with God in his word. Amen.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is Emulating God's Love and was recorded live at the A Word from God Bible Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
Emulating God's love is what we're going to be talking about today. It's going to be in key verse, John 15, verses 9. And we'll stand for the reading of God's word, please. I'm reading now the New King James Version today. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Heavenly Father, we come to you in thanksgiving, God. We thank you, God, for your word. And we pray, God, that you will open our hearts, God, to receive it today. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. Emulating God's love. As Christians, as believers in Christ, this is what we're supposed to do. If you study the scriptures, you will understand that Jesus didn't put conditions on his love. Human beings, we tend to put conditions on our love for others, do we not? We're in a fallen world, and that's how we sometimes behave. But it's inexcusable as a Christian, because Jesus says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Now see, God doesn't hold anything back when he loves you, does he? And so Jesus continues on to say, abide in my love. Now, the only way that you can love others the way that God intended you to love them is that you abide in the love of Jesus Christ, because you can't do it on your own strength. It's not going to happen. You don't have enough love inside of you to love the person the way God requires you to love them. So you have to abide in the love of Jesus Christ in order to shine his love into their life, because your love's not enough. You might think your love is enough. You might hope your love is enough, but in reality, it's not. It's not enough. You have to love people when they're unlovable. And the human person can't do that out of the flesh. They can only do that out of the Spirit of Christ. That's the only way you're going to make it. So for those who are in a relationship with another person or married, you got to understand that you can't carry that through without the love of Jesus Christ. So if you're neglecting the things of Jesus Christ, such as his word or fellowship in the church, or prayer, guess what? You're neglecting the person that you love because you're not refilling yourself with God's love in order to spend it out there in the world. That's why Jesus says, abide in my love, and that's how we abide. We fellowship, we pray, and of course, we spend time with God in his word. Amen. We're going to go over the elements of emulating God's love. How many of you in here know that God's love is actually at times, not always, tough love? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 reads, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. Now listen, God accepts us as children when we become believers. And as children, we have to be corrected when we're on the wrong path. If he didn't love you, he wouldn't do that, would he? He just lets you go out on your own and just let you fall and be destroyed. But sometimes God has to intervene and says, listen to me. You're on the wrong path. And because you won't correct your own way, I'm going to have to take you to the side and I'm going to have to chasten you. Now, he doesn't do this because it gives him pleasure to do that. He does that because he loves us. He cares about us and he wants to change our lives for the better. So, yes, God's love can be tough. The Lord disciplines his children because he loves them and wants the best for them. He is looking out for their good. In Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Now understand what this says. The things that are happening in your life aren't all bad for everybody else. There are some bad things that could happen to you that God allows, that he is working for good, either for yourself and or others. Does that make sense? That's what the scripture's telling us. But listen, this condition falls on those who are called according to his purpose. Notice the word his. It's not your purpose. It's God's purpose. So sometimes you're in a dilemma and you ask God, why? Why? Well, he doesn't always give us the answers to the whys. Because we wouldn't understand the purpose even if he explained it to us. Because God is so far above us in his knowledge and wisdom that sometimes there's just some things you just don't understand. But that's where faith comes into play. So understand that everything that happens to the Christian happens out of love. Happens out of love. Now, I'm not talking about the wrong choices that Christians make. I'm talking about the things that God allows. The things that God allows into a Christian's life is out of love. Now listen to this. Sometimes things happen to us and we know we're wrong and we know that we're being punished by God. And sometimes we can react to that and we can say, this is unfair. How could you do this to me, God? And we have all these excuses as to why we're doing the wrong thing or we did the wrong thing. But God doesn't put up with those excuses, especially when we know better. And see, God knows what he needs to do in your life to correct you. So you might think, man, this punishment is too hard for me. But God, in his all knowledge and all of his wisdom, he says, no, I know exactly the punishment that you need. I know the discipline that you need. Because this discipline is going to save your eternal soul and others with it, along with saving your life. Now, God isn't out to destroy you when he disciplines you. That's not his goal. He's out to make you more like his son, Jesus Christ. And if he sees an area in your life that you're lacking, he's going to allow you to go through some things to polish you up. You got to think about it as the man looking at the rock and he wants to make a sculpture. He's got to get rid of the rough edges to smooth them out to get the statue he's looking for, does he not? Well, don't even think for a moment that God's not looking you over. And he's saying to himself, I see some rough edges right now. And he's going to break out that spiritual chisel and he's going to start chopping away at them. You cannot live the Christian life without God disciplining you somehow, some way. Now, sometimes you don't even have to do the wrong thing, so to speak. Sometimes God will just look at you and say, there's some things in your life that are not lining up. And I have to change those things. And he starts chopping away at those things. And it can hurt when God starts cutting back on our lives. But here's what I'm saying. We should thank God for that discipline. We should thank God. Because when God brings you from where you were to where he's taking you, and once you have arrived, you look back at your old self. And I'm not saying that anybody ever reaches the plateau that God is striving them to get to in this lifetime. But what I'm saying is when God takes you from level B to level C or however you want to describe it, when you get to that next point that God's taking you to and you look back at the old point where you used to stand, you're going to see your old self back then and say, wow, I'm more Christ-like. Thank you, Lord. At least that should be your attitude. That should be your attitude. Maybe things don't bother you the way that they used to bother you. Maybe people don't annoy you like they used to annoy you. Maybe you're not so panicky when you hear a bad report like you used to be. Because you know what? There's people, and I won't point them out, but there's people in this room that when they hear a bad report, they automatically panic. And they start getting on the phone and calling people. Did you hear what so-and-so said? Did you hear the news about this? And you know what they do? They spread the bad report. That's exactly what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to get on that phone and start calling everybody and spreading his lies. That's not faith. See, the first thing you should do when you hear a bad report is you should get on your knees and say, Lord, I need wisdom. I need direction. And I know you're in charge of this, God. And I know that you won't let anything befall me that you do not want to come into my life. So show me where I'm supposed to go with this. And you know what God usually tells me? Be still. Be quick to listen and slow to speak. But some people aren't like that, see? And see, that's a discipline. That's a discipline. If you are fast to speak and slow to listen, God is going to bring things into your life to shut that mouth and open them ears. Trust me. So when he takes those things away from you, you should be thankful. You should be thanking God. Lord, I want to thank you for what you've done because you removed this out of me. Amen. We can emulate God's love by displaying tough love when called for. Now, again, we're going through the tough love attributes of God's love, right? We're going through the toughness, right? Toughness means you got to do something to somebody that you don't want to do. Child runs out in the street, almost gets hit by a car. You want to have to discipline him that he don't run out in that street no more. Your son sneaks out his side in the middle of the night while you're in bed and he's out partying. You got to put a stop to that, don't you? You can't put up with that kind of stuff as a parent, can you? There's some tough love that has to take place. Well, this is what God has to do when us Christians step out of alignment with his word. God has to do things that does not please him, but in the long run, it should please us because we know that God set us straight. You can't let people run wild and be a part of your family. You can't let people just run wild. As a church, we're to discipline one another. When we see someone stepping out of line of God's word, we're a family here. You see someone stepping out of line in this church, you need to lovingly confront them. And if they're doing something to hurt the church, some tough love's got to be administered. We're a family. We can't let stuff that's going to hurt a member continue on. And if they want to continue making that choice, then we can't allow it to overflow with us. That would be tough love, wouldn't it? And it sounds harsh because some people say, well, churches are supposed to be all loving. They're supposed to be all caring. That is love. I can't let one or two people in this church act up and hurt the rest of us, can I? That wouldn't be a real pastor, would it? That wouldn't be doing my job. Then God would come down on me saying, look what you're allowing. I don't want God coming down on me. God's love is tender love. It's not harsh. It's tender love. See, if you got harsh love in you, you don't have the love of God. Psalm 69, verse 16. Hear me, O Lord, for your loving kindness is good. Turn to me according to the multitude of your tender mercies. A multitude, the psalmist says. Listen, God's not running out of love for you. Why are you running out of love for people? God's got a multitude of mercies. But yet, sometimes we don't want to extend that mercy to other people. We expect them to do better than we ourselves could do. And we all fall short in that category. I understand that. People can be frustrating. But maybe that's because those who are getting frustrated don't have enough tender love in their hearts. God's love is not only tough, but it is also tender. He cares, he understands, and touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Now listen to this, because this really brings me comfort. Hebrews 4:15, for we do not have a high priest, and the high priest is speaking of is Jesus Christ. How many of you know he's our high priest? Jesus is the high priest. He's over all the church, and that's how he's referred to in the Bible, as the high priest. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Now, what this is saying is that everything that you're going through in life, all of your temptations, all of your hardships, all of your pain, all of your suffering, Jesus been there, done that. But he didn't fall to those temptations. There was no sin in Jesus Christ. He's overcome those things. Now, why is that so important? Well, there's lots of reasons why that's important. But I'm going to tell you something. You got something that's eating away at your soul that you can't conquer? Of course you can't in the flesh. But remember who lives on the inside of you. God lives on the inside of you. Christ, the Holy Spirit. Now, listen, I'm going to tell you something. You got something that's your weekend, you call on Jesus. You call on Jesus in prayer. You call on Jesus in his word. You call on Jesus in fellowship. You dig deep into Jesus. You get filled with his love. It's already there. You just got to wake it up. You can't do it on your own, so stop thinking you can. See, I'm telling you, people say, I'll go to church when I'm a good person. What? That's never going to happen. The pastor's not even a good person. There is no one good but God, the scripture says. You got to understand that Jesus does the cleaning. You can't clean up your own life. Stop trying to do it on your own. You're going to fail, and the devil's going to laugh at you the whole time you're trying to. But see, Jesus has already been through all these temptations. He suffered a multitude of pain and heartache and hardships, and he's conquered them all. Jesus said, I've overcome the world. Now, you didn't overcome the world, so why are you trying to overcome your problem? You can't do it. You got to have the high priest who sympathizes with you. You know, there's two words that I'd like to tell you today about, sympathize and empathize. Empathize is when you can imagine how somebody would feel, but you've never been through it. But the word used in this scripture is sympathize. That means that you've been through it. Now, I'm not saying that Jesus has been through all of the sins that we have committed, but you got to understand that Jesus was a human being. God came down into the flesh of a human being. And this human being was called Jesus Christ, and he lived among us. And he took his turn at life, and so he was subject to the temptations of life, just like we are. But he didn't fall to them. So if he lives on the inside of us, that means we have his strength. That means that we can say no to those temptations. But we have to fuel ourselves with his word, with prayer and fellowship. Don't let the devil separate you from those three things. He will separate you and get you alone and defeat you. You don't need to go to church. Those people are better than you anyways. You can't live up to their standards. They're not really better than you, but they think they're better than you. I know what the lies of the devil says. You go to church, you'll show them, you'll clean up your own life. No, you won't. No, you won't. He'll get you out there, away from your church, away from the people that love you, that care about you, and he will destroy you. Laughing the whole time he does it. He'll take your children from you, your house, your car, your friends, your loved ones. He'll do it. He'll do it all the while telling you, you don't need to read your Bible. That's nonsense. Never helped you before. Well, maybe you never read it before. See, if you keep doing the wrong thing over and over again, guess what you get better at? Doing the wrong thing. Try a different path. Try it God's way. Give your heart to God. Don't just read the words. Don't just speak the words when you pray. Don't just read the words when you read the Bible. Don't just show up to church and not participate. Get into it with God. Give yourself to God and watch how much of yourself he gives back to you. Now, I'm serious today because we need to be emulating God's love. We need to be bringing that out in our lives towards other people. We need to stop loving ourselves and start loving other people. Quit worrying about your problems. God's got them. While you're busy fixing somebody else's problem, God's going to send someone in your life to fix yours. So stop stressing out about it. There is no anxiety in the Christian life. That's not what I was called to. I was called to peace. Okay, my Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. If you're filled with anxiety and worry and stress, that's not God's love in you. See, I got the peace of Jesus in me. God's love, mercy, and grace are extended to all people in all places at all times. Now, we could carry this over to race. We could carry this over to sex of a person, you know, female, male. But we can also carry this over to the unbeliever. See, sometimes when we're in church, we feel like we're doing the right thing by showing up. We forget about the unbeliever that God's trying to reach. We want to extend judgment upon them and say, well, God doesn't love them. Yes, God loves the sinner, but he hates the sin. But he's called everybody to him. Not everybody's going to answer the call. You know, the shame of it is that there's people in this world that will say that they've answered the call, but their fruits say otherwise. Jesus said that you will know them by their fruits. You'll know a Christian by their fruits. And there's some people out there that they'll say, well, yeah, I'm a Christian. But they don't have no love in their hearts. They have no compassion. They don't have no fruits. They don't have no long suffering. They have no patience. Love is a fruit of the Spirit. And it's the most important fruit. Because without love, you don't have anything. You're just this body of flesh just existing. You don't love. You can't receive love if you don't love. Did you know that? If you can't love, you can't receive love back. Because your heart won't let you do it. It won't let you do it. Your heart will close up around you and around the people that care about you, and you'll shut them out because you don't have no love. Some people don't even love themselves. And what I mean by that is they don't even take care of themselves. They don't even watch after themselves. They let anything and anybody into their life. Anybody and anything. No love for themselves. They're self-destructive. We are commanded to emulate God's tender love. Did you know that? Ain't a suggestion I'm giving you guys up here. This is a commandment by the Lord himself. Ephesians 4:32, Paul writes, "And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." God forgave you. God's tenderhearted to you. So we need to be kind to one another. You shouldn't be using harsh words, even if you're upset with somebody. You may not even have a cause to be upset with somebody, but that doesn't mean you have to be harsh with them. You're supposed to be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. God's love is trustworthy love. This one people have trouble with because a lot of people really don't trust the love of God. They don't. And I can prove it because you look at someone's life and you see them living out of the word of God, and God's word was given to us out of love. But if you see somebody that is walking around and living their life out of the word of God, not fellowshipping, not praying, not reading the Bible, they're not trusting God. Because if you trust something, you will involve yourself with it. Come on, you're not going to hang around somebody you don't trust, are you? The amount of trust that you have for God will show in the amount of time that you spend with him and his people and his word. Because if you really trust it, you're going to be indulging yourself in it. You're going to say, wow, I wonder what God has for me today in his word. I'm going to find out. Because I trust God is going to give me a word that I need today. So I'm going to open up the Bible and I'm going to read it, trusting God that he's going to give me wisdom, direction, and a word for today or for my life in general. Because I trust that God is with me. And I'm going to ask God, I'm going to pray to God, I'm going to petition God because I trust that God's answer is going to come to me at the time that I need it to come, in the way that I need it to come. Not always in the way you want it to, but I trust God, so I'm going to pray. I trust that God has led me to the right church. I trust God that I belong in church. If you don't trust what he says in his word, you're not going to show up to church. Because you think that your judgment is better than God's. Well, I got things I got to do on Sunday, so I'm just going to stay out of church. That's not trust, because real trust is like, God, I know I'm supposed to be here. You told me I'm supposed to be here. I trust you. It's good for me. I'm going to go. I may not feel like going, because let's be honest, we don't always feel like going, right? But when I was a little boy, I didn't always feel like going to school. Thank God I did, because I can read and write. But if I would have went by my feelings, I'd be illiterate. So sometimes you got to do things you don't like to do to better yourself, right? Jeremiah 31, verse 3. The Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, "Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you." You got to understand that when you're invited to church, it's God speaking through that person, and he's drawing you in. He's not angry with you. He's not upset with you. Unless you're a sinner and you haven't repented, then you're under God's judgment. But what God is saying is that I love you, and that's why I'm drawing you in. That's why I'm sending people into your life to tell you to read your Bible. That's why I'm sending people into your life to fellowship with. That's why I'm asking you to pray to me. Today's society is sadly lacking when it comes to trustworthy love. The divorce rate is out of control. Children are being abandoned by their parents. schools are lacking in teachers that care about the student. And you hear stories of teachers committing horrible acts on their children that they're supposed to be entrusted to. And I could go on and on and on. But God's love is trustworthy. He said he would never leave nor forsake you. The question is, are you leaving God? Are you forsaking him? God will chase you only so far in this lifetime before he allows your free will to have its way. Because God has long patience. Trust me, he does. But when he sees that a person is not willing to repent, he will turn them over to their sin. And then begins tough love. The worst thing that could happen to anybody is that God says, your sin can have you now. Your sin can have you now. Does everybody understand what I'm talking about here? You could be indulged in something that you don't want to let go of. And you could make up a million excuses why you can't let go of it. And God could be sending you the answer. It's not going to be easy to get rid of it. Nobody's saying any of this is easy. But if you don't want to change, you're never going to change. And there comes a point in time where God says the sin can have you. We should be steadfast and dependable, loving in deed and in truth. Listen to this, guys. I'm going to tell you this. It's so important for the Christian. First of all, you need to be steadfast. You know what steadfast means? You're not moving off your path towards God for nothing. Nobody, nothing's going to stop you. So if there's something that's in your life that's taking you away from God, it's not from God. It's from the devil. Anything that lures you away from God is not from God. So 1 John chapter 3 and 18 reads, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. I don't want to hear lip service. I don't want to hear you're going to be at church. I want to see you in church. I don't want to hear that you care about your church. I want to see you care about your church. Amen. Am I being too hard up here? Am I being too frank? Because listen, I work hard. I work hard to make sure that everybody up here gets a good preaching from God. And I want to see people come here and get a blessing from it. And I want to see us love one another and care for one another and be there for one another. Because I ain't going to preach to a dead church with no love. I want to see people who are here for one another. So part of being here for the church is being there for yourself. You can't take care of us if you're not taking care of yourself. You can't do that. I want my people in this church to be reaching out. Before we can emulate God's triumphant love, we need to possess his love. We must totally commit ourselves to God to be filled with his love. You know, Jesus said that it's better for you to pluck out your eye and enter heaven with one eye than to go into hell with both. You know what he meant by that? He's not talking about tearing your body apart or hurting yourself. He's saying that there is no sacrifice too great to reach him. If you got something in your life that you love more than Jesus, it's going to bring you down. It's going to destroy you. If there's something you love more than Jesus Christ, it's better to get rid of that no matter how painful it is. No matter how much it hurts, no matter how much work it takes, you need to get rid of that so that you can replace it with Jesus. You can't serve them both. You can't have them both. God won't let you have them both. He will not let you have your unrepentant sin and his forgiveness at the same time. You have to repent to receive forgiveness. You're not going to forgive somebody that continually does the thing over and over again, right? How could you? They haven't repented. There's no sorrow in their heart for what they're doing if they're continually doing it. I know this is a hard preaching today. I know it is. But there's some things that God has to say. We have to listen to them. God's love is triumph because God is love. God is the very essence of love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. He who does not love does not know God. For God is love. Not talking about that warm, fuzzy feeling you get when you meet that new person and they're so pretty. They're so handsome. Not talking about that kind of feeling. We're talking about the person who loves indeed. Love's not a game. So conclusion, I know I beat you up enough today. Y'all gonna go home and lick your wounds. To love sometimes means we must make hard decisions to be tough and steadfast. Sometimes you had to make some tough decisions. You had to stand firm in those decisions. Immovable. Love must always be tender, even when it's tough. I'm not talking about beating up people now. Come on. Our love must be trustworthy love. Nobody should ever question your love for them. Nobody should ever wonder how you're going to be treating them tomorrow. Are you going to forsake them tomorrow? Are you going to kick them out tomorrow? Man, you can't live with somebody like that. You're here today with me and I'm throwing you out tomorrow. That's not love. That's not trustworthy love. Can't be doing that. When we allow God's love to flow through us, we will be triumphant. We'll be the victor.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.